you just don't need anyone else's permission. And, you know, I definitely was in permission mode early on, where wanting to make sure that what I was doing, I you know, it was unconscious, but I was filtering everything through what are people going to think about this? So know that you can make a decision. You don't need anyone else's permission, but do allow support from the right people, the people who are swimming the right way. How is it possible for a parent of a child with autism to become the superhero their child needs now? I'm Len.
And I'm Cass. When our son was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism, we went all in. We spent over a decade learning everything we could on how we could transform to help our son thrive. And guess what? He's doing it. This year, he ran for class president.
Each week on this podcast, we will be sharing the secrets needed for you to become the superhero your child needs.
If you want to learn how to tap into your innate superpowers to help your child thrive, visit AutismParentingSecrets.com.
Hello and welcome to Autism Parenting Secrets. Today's episode is about revealing that even if you feel overwhelmed, you can do this. You have the power. The secret is that you already have what it takes to be a warrior parent. And what do we mean by that? Simply put, you don't need to know anything more. You don't need more information. You don't need it to hold a degree. You don't need any more knowledge. And you also don't need anyone's permission. You already have the strength inside you to rise into that stronger version of yourself, to be a warrior parent and operate at a totally different level.
So in episode one, we shared our story. We talked about our overwhelm. We talked about everything that we were doing. And we knew that what we were doing wasn't sustainable as we were doing it. And we realized if we stayed the course with what the experts told us, that we were just, you know, our son's chances of progress were very limited. And we had to set that path of what was right for our child, what was true for our child, right? We didn't want to just lose hope and just let him be, you know? So there was a day where I remember when my son loved to spin things. I mean, he would spin anything that he could get his hands on. He would spin wheels. He would spin cars. He would spin himself. He would spin. I remember one day he tried to spin his little sister. Like, he put his hand on her head and it was like, eh. But one day he was in our kitchen and he was sitting on the floor and he had grabbed a wooden spoon and he was spinning it. And I know it was totally everything that all the experts had told me not to do, but I grabbed a spoon and I sat down next to him right in his sight line and I started to spin a spoon too. And I swear when I tell you that he started to look at me and he smiled and he was so happy that I was there with him. And I mean, I was so happy I was there with him. It was so beautiful and I loved it. And I was so excited to share this aha with all of his, you know, his team meeting with all of the other therapists. And they were like, they first gave me a look of like disgust. And then they gave me the like, okay, I get it. But you know what? If you're going to spin, the object he spins has to be appropriate. So Len and I went out and bought every single stinking spin toy, like every top, every size that we could get our hands on just to make it be okay for him to want to spin, which just kind of still felt a little bit dirty and not right. And, you know, that spinning, that movement where I went and I did something that he wanted me to do, where he was so excited that I was there with him, realized was kind of that epiphany for us that we needed to change the way that we were connecting with our child. We needed to change how we were approaching him. And when I tell you, I swear the universe had given me many, many signs that we needed to switch to a different program. And I'll never forget going back and re-looking at everything we've done. Like, We left an early intervention meeting right after my son was diagnosed, and someone had handed us a pamphlet for the Sunrise program, and it said Massachusetts. And I was like, I was so scarred, and I was like, no one's going to take my baby away from me. I thought it was a place where you send your child versus a place where you can actually go and get trained. And then I remember I went back and became a health coach, and I was in this little mini group, and one of the women in the group was actually a Sunrise teacher. And like there was then there was another example. And when we just finally discovered Sunrise and we had hired a consultant to come to spend the day with our son before we were going to invest any other money, my son had the best day he ever had that day because he felt seen. He felt someone was there with him. There was a safe connection. And so we just knew that we had to make this switch. And by making this switch and especially walking away from services that, you know, the city was paying for. And yes, we tried to do a bridge in between, but ultimately we knew that we had to switch for us to a Sunrise program.
Yeah, for us, that was the right move then. And, you know, up until that point with you at the Spoon, I mean, you think about it, all he was ever getting from anyone was no, 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 and redirection. So that was a huge shift. And I get, you know, the whole goal early on was to try to teach him the right behaviors and to, you know, discourage the behaviors that weren't appropriate. So I totally get where the therapist, what they were trying to do and that kind of philosophy. It's just with us, that served a great purpose early on, but then there came a time where at least what our son needed was for us to be showing up a different way and to really start letting him lead as opposed to just having him be instructed.
Right. And making the decision to actually follow that kind of intuitive piece was a huge epiphany for us, because instead of going what we were expected to do or what had scientific support, you know, behind it, we decided to kind of go with what we knew was going to be the right for our child. And when I tell you, you know when something is right for your child versus something's not right for your child. It's so much like your heart just kind of sings when you're going down that right path. And, you know, when everything is going right, right, you have that power, right? It's so much easier to be a parent who makes bold choices when you know that you're following, your heart and your brain are aligned, and you know what you're doing is right for your child. Like, that was so key for us.
And that becomes really hard if you don't trust yourself. So right. The key here is that you have the ability to become a warrior parent. And if you have issues with self-trust, just take the leap, right? Just trust in your inner knowing, even if you don't see the evidence for it yet. But if you do that, so much becomes possible.
Well, and it's amazing because once you do that and you have a community of like-minded people who actually are going after the same thing, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's so hard to swim in a pond when you're the only one swimming, let's say, left while everyone else is swimming right. But then when you find the pond of left swimmers, let's just say, like, amazing things. Like, there's this new energy, this newfound freedom. You just, you know, it can move mountains.
Yeah. You find your flow.
Yep.
That story really did change everything. And to boil it down, though, if you're trying to think about this from, you know, what can somebody do to make this leap? You know, the way we think about it, there's kind of like five steps to doing this. And the first one is really to acknowledge reality. And what we're saying there is that, you know, at least going back to how I felt early on in our journey, I truly felt and would tell anybody who would listen that I was doing everything I could, that my wife and I, Cass, were both totally operating on all cylinders and we were doing everything we could. But the reality is, and if we would have acknowledged it back then, is that that wasn't true. There were so many things that we were unclear about. And, you know, personally, there was so much of our own stuff that was coming up that was getting in the way of us really bringing our full self to helping our son, how to make better decisions. And just generally speaking, we weren't playing full out. And so I think the first step in this is just to acknowledge, where are you and where is it that you truly aren't bringing your best self?
Right. Is that, I mean, it's so key to acknowledge reality, because once you acknowledge your reality, you can then kind of move forward from there.
Yeah.
Right?
If I would have stayed there, I wouldn't have changed anything about how I was operating. And overall, I know that that would not have been to Rye's benefit.
Right. And I think also when you're able to acknowledge reality, you become powerful. When you actually are just kind of in that place of kind of being stuck or just feel like you're doing everything you can, but kind of just, It's almost like Groundhog Day, right? Like then it's kind of powerless because you're just kind of stuck there. The other thing that was really, really, really important is trusting that you have everything you need to make the leap, right? And the cool thing is you can trust yourself to make a decision. And even if your decision might not be the best decision, you can always pivot. So, but you need to have that self-trust so that because no one knows your child better than you do.
No, that's so true. And the other thing is related to that, you know, kind of the third item is that you just don't need anyone else's permission. And, you know, I definitely was in permission mode early on, where wanting to make sure that what I was doing, it was unconscious, but I was filtering everything through what are people going to think about this? So you know that you can make a decision. You don't need anyone else's permission, but do allow support from the right people, the people who are swimming the right way.
Right. Well, and I also think it's kind of like the gold star syndrome. You know, when I was younger in school, like if you did well, you got like a gold star and you'd run home and you'd put that paper on your refrigerator. When you have a child with autism, just because you've done everything, let's say a doctor or therapist told you to do, you're not going to get a gold star from that. The gold star comes when you actually have that connection with your child and you're getting the progress and you're getting those interactions, like those glimmers. And I've talked to so many clients who, you know, they don't celebrate the glimmers enough. They kind of get stuck in like, well, they're still not doing X. And I'm like, well, they're still not doing X yet, but look what they have done. So it's kind of that too. And I think also you really need to, another one of the steps is inventory what's not feeling right. That's part of your day to day, right? So what might not be feeling right is, you know what? I know I could do more here, and just taking acknowledgement of that inventory, because if you can acknowledge what's not necessarily feeling right or things that maybe you haven't done yet, like there's power there.
Yeah, just becoming aware of how you're feeling, whether it's a therapy, an intervention or supplement, whatever the case may be, just get as part of your day-to-day, just getting in touch with how you're feeling. And then the final step is just to commit now. You know, again, this is a commitment to your child. It's to yourself. But when you actually take this final step, this means that now you are truly saying that you're ready to take up space and to take bold action. And that could be really scary for a lot of people. But that final step it lays the foundation for everything. So again, to recap, you want to acknowledge reality is the first step, then trust that you have everything you need to make the leap, know that you don't need anyone else's permission, and then inventory what's not feeling right. And after you've done all that, then it's just a matter of commitment.
Right. And then along the way, you're going to have some, I don't know, conflicts or some road bumps that come up. And one of those is self-doubt, right? Am I strong enough to do this? Am I smart enough to do this? Am I not qualified? What if I screw up, you know? And the other big thing is, like, as a parent, you don't ever want to do anything that harms your child, which goes to also the vetting. Like when you're deciding what you're going to do for your child, make sure that you're keeping that top of mind, just because you want to make sure you're always, that was one of my things at least, is when I was evaluating things for my child, okay, I always checked in with myself. Does this make sense? Is there only upside? Like, really considering those, the benefits outweighing any kind of risk.
Yep. Yeah. Because when you decide to operate this way, there's no question you're going to have consequences. Things are going to happen when you take this leap. And that self-doubt, as you mentioned, is absolutely one thing. There also may be kind of a questioning of whether this makes sense. And you might want to isolate a little bit or hide and kind of do things, you know, more yourself. But the bottom line is you do move faster and it feels better if you have the right support around you. So any desire to isolate is something to be aware of and to just acknowledge it and move forward, because in isolation, things do feel harder and you move slower.
Right. And the other one that will come up, which I know has come up for me on this journey, is that people are going to judge you, or at least you're going to feel like people are judging you. And it usually happens like if you hit a road bump. So let's just say, I'm going to use diet as a lack of a better example. Like you choose to, you know, give your child, put them on a gluten, dairy-free diet, right? And maybe you're still seeing some behaviors because maybe there's something else that you need to do for your child. And you might have some people like, oh, well, I told you that wasn't necessarily right. Or, you know, oh, that's to be expected. And you're just kind of like the naysayers. You don't need to listen to them, right? So when you hit these road bumps, just know it's a bump and it's not there to derail you because you know what you need to go after.
And for any of the control freaks out there, and I'm kind of one of them, people are going to judge you no matter what. There is absolutely no way you can control that. It's going to happen. So just acknowledging that that's going to happen and kind of just being prepared for it and being prepared for it not to affect you is something definitely that's worth thinking about beforehand, because it's going to happen. And the other thing that's definitely going to happen is that you will lose some relationships. You know, when you choose to act differently, and especially in a stronger way, people don't like that. They really don't, you know, whether they feel threatened or whether they feel confused. But you're going to lose some relationships, whether it's family or friends. But just trust that you will gain better relationships through this whole process. So people may drop off, maybe totally out of your life. Some people may just be minimized for a certain period of time. And when it comes to practitioners that are working, you know, with your child, you know, some of those people you're going to fire. You're going to let go and you're going to release.
You might fire them or they might fire you, because you'll have sometimes, especially, let's say with doctors, who if you don't believe with how their practice runs, or you might have a little bit of a conflict of interest, you know, and if you're not willing to do X, Y, Z, they might just be like, all right, guess what? You're no longer allowed to be part of the practice. But it's also what Len had said about you might lose some relationships. You're going to find better ones. So you're going to find the ones that you're meant to be at.
Yep. So in a way, it's about kind of being prepared to let go, even though that may not feel great right now, it is the way. And so that gives you an idea of what to kind of expect, but then let's flip it a little bit. You know, what's it going to look like from a positive standpoint? And there's just so much that does reveal itself and that presents itself when you operate at this higher level. You know, number one is you'll definitely have an energy surge. When you proclaim this higher path and say that you're going to be bigger, stronger, more resilient, you definitely will feel internally that surge. And you're going to kind of, you know, from my standpoint, I know I shifted from some level of anxiety that I was feeling. And at times it was huge. Other times it was just kind of there. But I moved from anxiety to excitement about what was going to be happening, both for my son, my family, you know, and for myself. And internally, I felt freedom. I felt less pressure. I felt less stress. So choosing this road has, let's just say, the consequences. I don't even want to call it the downside that we just talked about, but you also get these such positive feelings from taking this, you know, by kind of claiming this higher path. And overall, the other thing about what this feels like is that your child will absolutely sense the change in you. Your child's going to sense your determination, your commitment, and overall, they're going to feel safer. And then you're going to start to watch your child bloom and grow, and the connection's going to get stronger. I mean, these kids, all kids on the spectrum, are so much more sensing, and they sense so much more than they can communicate and acknowledge. So you adopt this different way of being, trust me, your child will notice.
Right. And it's all about that safe connection. Like, are they safe to be seen? Are they safe to be themselves? Are they safe in the world? Because that is such a big deal. And that's kind of as you confirm success, right? So from us, we went from wanting other people to fix our son to accepting the fact that it was our responsibility to make the decisions on his behalf, right? So instead of watching the race, we needed to take the baton and run the race. We couldn't just remain a spectator. And it was really up to us to navigate the journey. And at first you're like, oh my God, how can I do anything else? But taking that responsibility, it's awesome because there's nothing more that you get to complain about because it's you're making the choices. You're not deferring them to someone else, right? There's like this energy surge and you get to, you know, you also then get to decide who's on your team and you get to leverage others, you know, but you're never deferring to them because that is so, so important, you know, and we've already talked about the whole idea of, you know, firing or finding new doctors to support you, but truly using that mommy gut, you know, to what truly feels right for you. And there was, I just want to share a quick story because I love this. The other day, I just got this picture. And this is a mom who's been working with us. And she has what is claimed a very picky eater. And most moms can, you know, there's a lot of picky eaters, especially on the spectrum. And this mom lover. She has three children, all under the age of six. And I think one is definitely on the spectrum. Another one has some stuff going on and there's lots of food allergies there. So she and I bonded really well because of all that. And, you know, just to get food on the table was a challenge, but then to get healthy food on the challenge was the next hurdle, and especially with a picky eater. But she sent me a picture of something that she had just cooked, and her pickiest eater son was sitting there with a smile on his face eating them. So here is someone who, you know, didn't think she could do it, but when she actually committed herself to doing it, she is now feeding her son nourishing food, and he's thriving.
Yeah, and that's such a great story, and that's going to be one building block on her progression across so many dimensions. So yes, it's food and food is incredibly important, but that success will be built on, which is the exciting part.
Well, and the other exciting part is you're building confidence. You know, you get to do one thing and that's why you got to celebrate each one. All right. So we want to talk about three actions that you can take today because we always want to bring it back to what you can do now. And the first one I love is something called Power Pose, and Ann Cuddy was who taught me this. Her TED Talk, you can Google it or we'll put it in our show notes, but amazing. So the whole idea of like standing like Wonder Woman, right? So standing with your, you know, hands on your hips, like bold out, putting that posture out. So if there's something new that you need to do, or if there's a confidence booster, to stand like Wonder Woman or put your arms up in victory, you know, like you just ran a race and you won, like those movements are so powerful. And it's something that we as a family do. And even my kids, before they do something that they're a little bit nervous about, we always power pose. So we, you know, and we have a power pose picture. I don't know if we can add visuals, but maybe we'll put the power pose picture of us on it because it's really, it's so simple and easy to do and it will give you such a confidence boost. And this journey definitely needs confidence boosts.
And for the guys out there, yes, you can do a Superman pose. And if you look at the talk, she'll explain it all, but by just shifting your body into that stance, your whole body, the neurochemistry, like everything shifts, everything changes. You become much more confident, stronger. A lot of people like to do power poses before big meetings at work, that type of thing. So it really does.
We power posed before we got on this podcast today.
Yeah, it sounds silly, but it's a powerful, powerful move.
Another action you can do today, and this reminds me of my childhood, it's the whole game of, you know, you're rubber and I'm glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks back to you. It's not really to that extent, but the whole concept of, you know what, other people are going to judge you, or what they're saying is not what you want to hear. But just if you think about that, I'm rubber, you're glue, it's going to bounce off me. Just let their comments just bounce off of you. Do not take their judgments and feel them and carry them and make them part of their journey, because they're part of their journey. They're not part of your journey. And you need to be that strong, powerful self to keep moving forward.
Yeah, bottom line is that their judgments about you have nothing to do with you. It's all about them and how they're seeing you and seeing the world. So when you really look at it that way, it's easier not to take it so personally. And people are entitled to their judgments and their worldviews. So step number one, that power pose, give it a try. Two, about the idea of letting judgments pass through you. So the final action you can take right now is to really reflect on what's one thing that you're not doing for your child, but you really feel like is a fit. It's something that would be useful. Just ponder that. Is there something that's happening that you really wish you were taking action on? And just promote awareness of it. Whether you change and take action or not, doesn't matter. The key is just getting awareness of what is missing. What do you think would be helpful that you're not doing? And if you want to reverse it and say, hey, what's something I'm doing now that just doesn't feel right that I want to reevaluate? Again, this is something you can do right now. And even while we're talking, you can pause this podcast, really think about what is that thing that doesn't feel right and document it in some way, whether you want to pull out a journal and write it down or just go on your phone and hit the voice memo and just get this out, verbalize it, because the more clarity you have on what you might be not doing that could be helpful or the opposite is just the essential first step toward making a meaningful change.
And this is something that I like to do this usually right before I'm going to bed. So I'm kind of looking for clarity. So when I wake up in the morning, sometime the answers will be there for me. So just kind of asking yourself. So this might be something that you might want to adopt, but it's definitely something that's worked well. And a lot of times of like, okay, I need clarity on what, isn't working or what I should be doing might be something that could come to you as you sleep.
Great. So hopefully those three actions are something that can really help propel you forward again to where are you trying to propel yourself to just stepping into that new role. We call it a warrior parent. It's basically that stronger, more capable, more resilient version of yourself. And if you want to actually be with fellow all-in warrior parents, because this journey does feel so much better with support, the right support around you. But if you want to be with a community of all-in warrior parents, go to autismparentingsecrets.com for more information. Until next week.
Bye. Have a good one.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Autism Parenting Secrets.
If you're not already subscribed to this podcast, be sure to do that right now. And if you could, please rate and review this podcast. This will help other parents find us and benefit as well. And feel free to let us know what you'd like to hear in future episodes.
Also, head over to autismparentingsecrets.com and take our free assessment to discover your top superpowers today. Until next time, don't forget, you are the superhero your child needs now.